This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. Good morning. Milwaukee wants to be known as a city that thinks about how to achieve sustainability. To that end, it crafted a 10-year plan called Refresh Milwaukee. That plan was grounded in some of the city's promising sustainable attributes, its waterfront raw with potential, called the Harbor District, and its embrace of urban agriculture.
For 5 years, as head of Milwaukee's Office of Environmental Sustainability, Matt Howard was the face of those efforts. Today, though, marks the end of Howard's tenure. He's taken a new job with the Alliance for Water Stewardship, or AWS. Based at the Global Water Center in Walker's Point, Howard will become the first director of AWS's North American division.
Howard met WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bentz at the wind turbine at Milwaukee's Port Authority to explain what his new work will entail. But he first reflected on his tenure as Milwaukee's sustainability director.
When I look at the wind turbine, it reminds me of sort of the journey of sustainability in the last 5 years since I've been here. I think the turbine's somewhat symbolic or emblematic of that journey. When this was first proposed, when the wind turbine was first proposed, you know, it caused a lot of uproar. You know, there were people that were opposed to it because they just saw dollar signs. There were people that were opposed to it because they didn't understand it or what it could do in terms of the Port Administration building and providing energy needs. There are people that are opposed to it just because it was new and different. And in many ways, that reflects the story of sustainability in Milwaukee since I've been here. When I first came on board, there were some cynics and skeptics in terms of what we could accomplish around sustainability and could it actually have a meaningful impact in the city. And even taking it one step further, there were many people who wondered why would a city government even be involved in sustainability and have sustainability programs. And so kind of going back to the wind turbine as a symbol, you know, it's been operational now for 3 years. It's outperformed our estimates. It's provided a tangible economic benefit to the city. It's deferred about $60,000 in costs from our energy bills. The environmental offsets are tremendous in terms of the pollution that's been avoided. And in fact, you can now find the wind turbine on T-shirts that the Bayview Neighborhood Association sells. So it went from this really sort of controversial thing that many people were sort of viscerally opposed to something that's now just sort of quietly accepted and a part of the landscape in this neighborhood and in our city. And I kind of hope, if I have a legacy, whatever legacy it is, that we now view sustainability as a normal course of business, both in terms of what city government does and can provide for businesses and residents, but also just in terms of people and just accepting that it does have value in their day in and day out lives. So that's one of the reasons why I'm kind of drawn to the wind turbine in terms of, you know, my experience here so far in the city.
So in your goodbye note, you said that there's great things on the horizon for the Office of Environmental Sustainability. Can you give us a feel for what you're thinking there?
Sure. I think, you know, hopefully I've been able to work with my team and the mayor and city departments and lay a foundation for future success. And again, kind of going back to the wind turbine, I think we've been able to demonstrate that with some initial upfront cost, you can have a long-term benefit. You can have a payback as a result of investing in sustainability programs and initiatives. And that's one of the things I really pushed coming on board was this business case for sustainability. And our own return on investment is currently tracking at about 7 to 1. So for every dollar I've spent on a program, the community has seen $7 in savings or new investments as a result. And so looking forward, I think we've established a really good track record with residents and with businesses, and the potential is just untapped. I mean, we've really just skimmed the surface in terms of programs, rightfully so, focusing on energy efficiency and some renewable energy and some stormwater management issues and clearly urban food issues and urban ag. But there's a greater world out there in terms of sustainability and opportunities, and I think one of the exciting things for the city is obviously the work around water conservation, sustainability, and habitat restoration. You'll see all of those things occurring in the Inner Harbor redevelopment. I think that's going to be transformative for the city of Milwaukee and for the region, that redevelopment, and especially if it maintains its focus on sustainability. Again, there's just so much untapped potential in terms of what we could be doing.
So talk about your new job and first about the organization. It started in Europe?
Yes, so the Alliance for Water Stewardship is an international organization that started some years ago. A couple of large non-governmental organizations and multinational corporations got together and formed this alliance to really help tackle water conservation and sustainability issues globally. And so they spent the better part of the last 3 or 4 years putting together a new voluntary global standard around water use. And this standard will be and is being rolled out right now in globally and when I come on board in North America. And the point of the standard is to really look at how sites use water, how water comes into a facility, how water leaves the facility, and then how the site's operation impacts the watershed in which it's situated. So it's kind of like a LEED-like standard for a facility, but it goes beyond LEED in terms of looking at it in a watershed, at a much larger area. So it's really unique. There's an operational component to it, but then there's also this habitat and environmental ecological component to it as well. So I think it's a very powerful standard. We're probably be looking primarily at water-stressed regions of the United States initially, so places like California and the Southwest, and probably also looking at agribusiness and large manufacturing facilities that have a very large water footprint that are situated in those water-stressed areas. So the Alliance, you know, put this standard together and rolled it out last year. And the Water Council signed an agreement with the International Alliance for Water Stewardship to be the North American headquarters. And so that's the position that I'll be taking with the Water Council, will be the director of the North American Office of the Alliance for Water Stewardship.
So it's a new North American unit, and you're its first director.
Yes, and, yes.
How is what you've done and learned in your job with the city influenced the way you take on this job?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, I've got a fairly strong background in manufacturing. That's sort of where I came out of at the U.S. Department of Commerce in D.C., a sustainable manufacturing background. And I was able, through the mayor's leadership, to work on sustainable manufacturing again, but at the small and medium-sized business scale here in the city with one of our programs that we ran in our office. And so I feel just being able to sort of maintain, you know, a foot or a toe anyway, in those waters around manufacturing for the past, you know, 8 or 9 years, you know, prepares me well to, again, kind of jump back into dealing with manufacturing at a full-time basis. But really, probably the most important thing that I'll draw from my experience in the city is working with so many different varied groups of individuals and trying to work with them and build consensus around, you know, a single goal or a set of goals and targets and get people to buy into that and move forward with that, because that's essentially the work of applying a voluntary standard. It's really getting buy-in, not just from the company, but getting buy-in from the community and from the municipality in which it's situated, and getting everybody on board around a set of very specific and well-defined goals around water conservation and sustainability. So I think, you know, being able to maintain some presence in manufacturing policy and work with manufacturing, while at the same time just having such a great experience working with such a wide array of people and stakeholders in the city, I think will prepare me well for the new position.
So in your first days and weeks, are you going to be out meeting your counterparts around the world, or how are things going to be structured, do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally just sort of jumping in feet first the first couple of weeks. I've already got a trip planned out to California to visit a couple facilities in the Central Valley that have some water issues. But there are many people both nationally and internationally that I'll be touching base with in those first several weeks, not only here in Milwaukee, but again, internationally. And importantly, the person who's running the Alliance for Water Stewardship, the headquarters division. We've already been in contact, but we'll have a chance to really sit down and talk about strategy of rolling out the standard in the next couple of weeks.
How do you think the Water Council and the Global Water Center might fit into this whole puzzle?
Yeah. Well, I think it really helps complete the picture and the scope of services that you'll see coming out of the Global Water Center, but also out of the Water Council. And rightfully so, they've been focused on, you know, our strong suit in manufacturing around water technology and those goods and services we supply in that industry. But what you see here with the standard is sort of the other side of the coin. And now beyond just selling goods and services or technology, actually helping people in place become more efficient so that maybe even down the road, then they might need some of this technology or goods or services that are coming out of other companies in the Water Council membership. So I think, I think it really helps complete the scope of services that you're going to see coming out of the Global Water Center and the Water Council in particular. And I got to tell you, my schedule is very tight. I almost have very few time slots available in June. I haven't started yet, and I think that's just testament to the pent-up demand that's out there nationally and internationally for this type of work and this type of standard. We've taken water for granted way too long, and clearly in our region we're blessed with an overabundance of water, but we forget that there are other parts of this country and this globe where it's a life or death issue. And just even looking at California, where the United States has such a heavy reliance on agriculture that's produced out there, and it's a water-stressed region. And if we don't address those issues immediately, the ripple effects are going to be huge, not just for workers at those sites in California and other places in the Southwest, but for all of us who like to eat food and really who value, you know, habitat and being outdoors and value our water resources, both fresh and saltwater resources.
So a challenge of a lifetime, maybe.
Yes, I think it could be.
Today marks the end of Matt Howard's 5-year tenure heading the City of Milwaukee's Office of Environmental Sustainability. Howard begins his new job directing the Alliance for Water Stewardship North America on June 8th.